Blog Talk Radio.
Gave me this morning is coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Do all to the glory of God. Are we doing everything we do to God's glory? Are we representing our Father well? Are we representing our Savior well? Are we representing our Lord God in the best light? You know, the word that God gave me this morning, when we accept Christ into our lives, we are held at a higher standard. Whatever we do or say, places we go, and how we treat others is a reflection of our Father God. We must all ask ourselves, how am I acting? How am I acting? Am I acting in a way that I would make my Father proud? Or am I just showing out? How are you representing your family today? How are you representing God today? You know, I can say I am not always the best I can be, but I'm trying to reach that higher mark, trying to be better today than I was yesterday, understanding that God is my Father. And I need to represent him well. You know, we can't get out and act like everybody else. We can't act up. Everything we do reflects on our Father. You can't get out there claiming to be a Christian and hating your brothers and your sisters. You can't get out there saying that you're a Christian and looking at someone's skin color and deciding before you ever open your mouth or say a word that you hate them. You can't say you love God and you're reflecting him when you beat children or your wives or cheat on your husband. Your wives, do we reflect on God? Are we allowing people to dictate how we act? Are we allowing people to tell us what to preach? Are we allowing people to say, you got to follow this political party or that political party or this political party is a demon and that one is good? How do we reflect on God and how do we treat our fellow man? Do all for the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. Are we doing all to the glory of God? Or are we acting like the world? We've got to stop and take a minute and reflect on our love for our Father and our respect for our Father. Because our Father gave the greatest gift ever. He gave his Son. Whatever we do or say as people of God, reflect on our Father. when we accepted Jesus Christ, we accepted Christ into our lives. Whatever we do or say, places we go and how we treat others is a reflection of our Father God. And we got to remember that. What are you saying today? Are you being kind? Or are you being hateful? Are you getting yourself caught up in foolishness? Are you saying, Lord, I give myself away for you to use me? Ooh. Am I reflecting a good image of my dad? You know, I remember as a little kid, you're told when you go out, don't touch anything, don't say anything, don't do anything to make this family look bad. And we as Christians cannot have to think that same way. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we cannot make our family look bad. Something is making you look bad as a Christian. That's something that God is not wanting you to do. That's someone God is not wanting you to follow. There's something God is wanting you to think about. Because if something becomes more important than God, it's something you might need to let go of. We've got to look at ourselves and do reflections. How are we acting? Are we putting a good reflection on our Father? Are we acting or are we doing right? When we accept Christ into our lives, wherever we do, wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we do, that keeps coming into my mind. Whatever we do, whatever we do or say, places we go, and how we treat others is a reflection of our Father God. Wow. Whew. That's some deep stuff. And it really hit my heart this morning as I was thinking about myself and how I was out and about on the web, reading newspapers, looking at what's today's news, instead of doing more reflection on my word this morning. And I have to repent. I had to say, Lord, forgive me. I was allowing the world to come in when I was in my study, supposed to be in my study. And I had to repent. And then God asked me a question. Do all to the glory of God. Is reading them articles to the glory of God? And I thought, ooh, no. So, Lord, forgive me. Because I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. We got to really watch what we do and how we act and how we treat each other. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. And watch God work in your life. So I thank him today. I thank him for the reflection that I had to do myself. Because I started allowing the enemy to come in because I started getting angry. And I'm like, okay, God, this is not right. And I got angry because I kept trying to say, why are we acting like this? Why are we allowing someone to divide us up? Do we not see that's the spirit of Antichrist? And we got to be careful. We got to really be careful now because the devil is busy because he knows time is coming to an end and he's after the people of God to make us look bad so that he can say, see, they're not all that. they follow me too. And making people not want to follow Jesus, not wanting to be in his family, because there are those that have said things and done things that did not reflect well on our Father. So this is something to think about. Are you doing whatever you do to God's glory? Father God in heaven, I ask forgiveness for distractions, for allowing distractions to come into my fear and into my being, Father God. I want to stay focused on you, Lord. Help me to be more focused on you. I do what I'm called to do, to teach your word, to preach your word, to read your word, to meditate on your word, God. Father God, I lift up this word today asking you to increase as I decrease, Father God, allowing me to work for you and to reflect good on you, Father, that I will not reflect the negativity but a positivity, because you are my dad and you love me, and I love you more than anything. Christ Jesus, I ask you to guide and lead my footsteps in the light, that I stay in the square of light, that I stay in your presence, Savior, that one day I will sit at your feet as Mary did, that I will learn as Mary did, and that I will read as Mary did, soaking in your knowledge and in your understanding and in your love. As the more I seek you, Jesus, the more I find you, and I'm thankful that you are my Savior, that you are my friend, and that you love me, and I love you. Father God, again, increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble, contrite heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Father God, for you, my Lord Jesus Christ, are my saint, and you are my Redeemer. And the word, I say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I say so, for I am redeemed by your precious blood, Savior. And I lift up this word to you. I lift up this word to the Father. I lift up this word to the Holy Son. I lift up this word to the Holy Spirit that lives in me, asking you all to increase as I decrease. Jesus, in your name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. And today, we're going to be a little bit different. We're going to actually start in 1 Corinthians, and then we're going to go to Ecclesiastes. And our last word will come out of Proverbs this morning. And our word for this morning, where our title is coming from, is a completion of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to be starting in verses 19 through 33. And it says this, and it says, what am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything. So we're going to go back up to our word from yesterday so we can get all of this in the correct and proper context. And in our word on yesterday, we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. And I'm going to start over at 18. Actually, I'm going to start at verse 12. And it says, this is what Paul says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation is overtaking you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. You hear that? Flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we though many are one bread and one body. But we are all partakers of that one bread. Observe, Israel, after the flesh, are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? When am I saying this? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything, rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. Y'all catching that? Enemy is busy. He's got Christians going here and there and everywhere, fussing and fighting amongst themselves in the body of Christ over foolishness and over idolatry. We have got to quit putting people on pedestals. No person is more important than God in your soul. When you have people saying there'll be riots in the streets because of one person, that's not of God. If you will put a person over God in your salvation, we need to stop and think, is that person of God, or are we worshiping demons? And this is the word that God gave to Paul, and I give to you this morning. Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Or are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Did you catch that? If someone is seeking only what they want, not what's best for the world, not what's best for the nation, not what's best for their family, not what's best for their church, but just themselves, we got to stop and take a minute. If you are in a church where always it's not about the congregation, it's not about Jesus Christ, it's not about our Father God, but it's always about me, we got to stop and take a minute. If we are looking at those that will represent us in our nations, in our planet, is your leader of your nation only talking about themselves and what they want and how they want this and they and they and they and how they can't do this and they can't lose? They are always the winner. We have war going on in Ukraine because of one man's ego. We cannot allow people to dictate our faith. God is in charge of everything. We've got to stop and ask each other. All things are lawful. We're both healthy. For me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Are you edifying the Father today? Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. I love my church. I love my brothers and sisters. I love my pastor. I love my country. No, my forefathers were not brought here for love and joy. They were brought here slaves. But that does not make me hate America. But this is where I was born. This is my country, and I love it. And I care about us being a better nation, a nation of love. I don't give a care what someone looks like on the outside, because that's not what's important. It's what's on the inside. Do we love each other? And that's what we got to stand up for, loving each other as we love God and edifying him to the glory of God. God is not a hateful God. He's not looking at the outside. He could give a doggone care what political party you're in. The question is, are you helping your brothers and your sisters? Are you taking care of the least among us? Are you setting on what you got and can't help nobody else? Because it's not about them, it's all about you. God will hold us all accountable. How we treat our fellow man. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market is what Paul is saying. Because we all know that we don't do pork. And I'm talking about the folks of that generation. And many of us, I don't eat pork. But it's a personal choice. It started as a fast and it became a lifestyle. And so I just say, that's me. But I will never tell somebody else what they can eat, what they can drink, what they can do. Because you will be accountable only on yourself. I can't go to hell or heaven for anybody. But if I don't do what I'm supposed to do and say what I'm supposed to say, then I will be held accountable because I may make someone stumble. And I don't want anybody to stumble because of something I say or something I do. We got to ask forgiveness. We got to walk right, act right, because we reflect our Father. And it goes over as, and this is what Paul says, eat whatever you sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all it is in all its fullness. That's one of them highlightables. For the earth is the Lord's. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner and you desire to go eat whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience sake. So if I go to a dinner and find out it's a pig roast, I can say, I'm sorry, you know, I don't eat pork, so no, ain't nothing here, I won't. What you do is you eat what you can and keep it moving and tell the host, thank you. And you give whatever to God. Might have to take more medication because pork messes with my blood pressure. And that's why I don't eat it. But if it's set before me and that's all my host has and they're giving it from their heart, then that day I may say, okay, God, I'm going to have this piece of ham. And I give it to you and ask you to bless it and to bless this house and to bless the food that is being served. But if your host knows that you don't eat that and that it messes with your body, then that host may say, hey, Mr. Bridget, I made you some salmon because I know you don't eat pork. Then don't go, and if you're not Mr. Bridget, don't get mad because Mr. Bridget is having salmon and you're having pork when you never told the host you don't eat pork. So don't get mad at the host. Well, they gave Mr. Bridget salmon like she's some special, and I had a pork chop. They don't understand that Minister Bridget, before her health situation, would have been chomping down on that pork chop, and if they had had some fried potatoes and onions and some biscuits, it would have been on and popping. Because I'm going to tell you, that was my favorite meal. Fried pork chops, my dad, on Sunday morning before church, that was the big breakfast because we knew we wouldn't eat again until way late. And then we would have like something light. So we had our big meal early in the morning before church. And it was normally fried pork chops with biscuit, with pork gravy, with that pork chop gravy on biscuits and gravy and pork chops and fried potatoes and onions. And then you could have the biscuit with a whole bunch of butter. And, oh, I'm making myself hungry here, y'all. But I'm going to tell you, don't look at what somebody else is doing if they are not hurting you, harming you, and they're still edifying the Lord. Do what you do. Don't envy anybody. Don't get upset with anybody for what they say or what they have. Because your blessings come from God just like they are. God brings on the just, the unjust, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But understand, everything done in the dark always comes into light. Everything. Don't think somebody's getting away with something, because it will come into the light. Everything does. And this is what the Word of God says. And he says, and if any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner, I'm saying it again, and you decide to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you and for the conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Everything, in everything, give thanks to God. Give thanks to God for your good. Give thanks to God for your bad. Give good thanks to God for your ugly. Because everything is for a purpose and a reason. We do nothing without a purpose. We have nothing without God's blessing. We have to always understand that everything, everything comes from the Father. And that whatever you do, do it in the love of God. Because he loves us like that. And, you know, yesterday I was at work, and my client had this little book, The Things My Mama Said, and these are some of the things that I copied. And it says, the secret of happy living is not to do what you like, but to like what you do. And that's a secret to being a Christian, is to be a Christian because you like Jesus, and you like being a Christian. You like being a believer. You like following what God says to do, and because you like it, not because you have to be, not because you're afraid of going to hell, but because you like it. I like being a believer. I love Jesus, and I get all excited and giddy every time I think of how good he was and how much he loved me to die for me. I don't know what to say, but thank you, God. And the word that this book says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We have committed a golden rule to memory. Now let us commit it to life. I love you to life, then. And then one of my favorite scriptures is this. All things work for good for those who love God. Romans 8:28. Not some things or most things, but all things. So praise him even in your trouble. Wow, what a book. And then the last one was, if we fill our hours with regrets of yesterday and with worries of tomorrow, we have no today in which to be thankful. We got to thank God every moment. Lord, I thank you because, Lord God, all glory belongs to you. And this is what Paul tells us. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. That, as Christians, is our assignment, to do what we do for the glory of God. That those that see you, that see me, that see us, see his grace, see his goodness, see his love, and want to be more like Jesus. And when we go into situations, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus be out rioting? Would Jesus be out destroying, tearing up, deals with the house of God? No selling, no stealing, no coveting. Jesus cleaned God's house. But he also said, give the Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to pay your taxes. You have folks claiming to love God and don't want to pay taxes. Don't want to do their fair share. Whine and complain about everything. God is not a whiner or a complainer. And we got to start acting more like that. Quit whining, quit complaining. Just say, You know what? For God I live. For God I die. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:23, a life lesson for us. All things are all lawful for me, but not all things edify. We are to, not merely is it okay, but also does this help? God wants us to move beyond merely debating whatever something is wrong or right and is to choose actions that build up the faith of others. Ooh, wow. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, which is the title of our lesson today, do all to the glory of God. Therefore could hardly be a better standard. There could hardly be a better standard of behavior than this. Before you commit to any action, ask yourself, can I do this to the glory of God? Would this action put God's reputation in a right light? You know, the thing is, as we were growing up children, whatever you do out, you better not do anything to embarrass your family. And we as Christians, whatever we do out, we can't do anything to embarrass our Father God. So let's get back into our word. We're now going back into the Old Testament to Ecclesiastes. So please join me in chapter 8 of Ecclesiastes. Because one of these, the wisest man on the planet ever is writing this word. And I think this is how I feel. And again, this is my opinion, not coming out of the word, but my opinion, that this is, was written when Solomon was older, when he had gone through some stuff, when he had gotten all these women and all these things and was allowing things to go on in his kingdom that were not of God. And he was going to have to deal with it. He's going to have to deal with the consequences of his actions, marrying all these women from idolatrous countries, having children with these women and not really raising them. Because kids in those days were raised in the hand. They knew their daddy well. But he had so many. He couldn't know them all. He lived a right old age. He had children, grandchildren, and all this family. And I'm sure there are descendants of Solomon living today. But the question is, are they wise? Like the forefathers? Do we even know who we are, who we belong to? Things to think about. Do you know who you are? Are you lost? And are you asking your Father God to find you? Father God, find us. Show us who we are. When you're snatched away from your culture, from your family, from your everything, and stripped of your name, you have no idea who you are. And that's why so many are lost. But when you give your life to the Lord, you find yourself. And you know who you belong to. I'm a child of God. And I claim my inheritance. Hallelujah. We got to start reflecting on our Father. We can't get into the vanities of vanities. We can't get depressed because of so many things in life. We got to still wake up every day and say, Lord God, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, I'm blessed. You gave me another day. You gave me a do-over. Help me to be better today than I was yesterday. And this is what Solomon asked us. Who is like a wise man? And who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the sternness of his face is changed. I say, keep the king's commandments for the sake of your oath to God. Do not be hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand for an evil thing, for he does whatever pleases him. Ooh. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? He who keeps command will experience nothing harmful, and a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Because for every matter there is a time and judgment. Though the misery of man increases greatly, but he does not know what will happen. So who can tell him when it will occur? No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war, and wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. All this I have seen and applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. There is a time in which one man rules over another to his own hurt. Then I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of holiness, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. Also is vanity, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore the heart of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear before God. There is a vanity which occurs on earth, and there are just men to whom it happens. According to the work of the wicked, again, there are wicked men to whom it happens. According to the work of the righteous, I said that also is vanity. So I commanded enjoyment, because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry. But this will remain with him in his labor all the days of his life, which God gives him under the sun. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, even though one sees no sleep day or night, then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done until the sun, done under the sun. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. But chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes, and we'll come back to life lessons and life questions after we finish this word, time permits. For I considered all this in my heart, so that I could declare all that the righteous and the wise and their work are in the hand of God. People know neither love nor hatred, but anything they see before them, all things come alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, the clean, and the unclean, to him sacrifices and to him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. He who takes an oath, as he who fears an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun. That one thing happens to all. Truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live and after they go to the dead. But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope for a living dog. Is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. Go eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart. For God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and let your hair lack no oil. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity. For that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. He has become older and cynical. When I was studying this word, I thought this wonderful king with all the knowledge given in the world, the most wise man, has become cynical. He has seen so much and knows so much that become just kind of like a blah. He's become blah. And he still loves God, but not like David. It's like he understands the concept of God, and he knows his blessings come from God, but he's lost his way. And he's trying to get it back. He says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the place where you are going. It's like he's talking death. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all. The man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. We all know we are living in it. This wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it, but seized it and built great snares around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that poor, that same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard, rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Wow. One sinner destroys much good. The 10 of Ecclesiastes. Dead flies petrify the perfumer's ornament and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom, and he shows everyone that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post, for conciliation pacifies great offense. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, an arrow proceeding from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, while the rich sit in a lowly place. I have seen servants on horses, while princes walk on the ground like servants. He who gives a bit will fall into it, and whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a serpent. He who quarries stone may be hurt by them, and he who splits wood may be endangered by it. If the axe is dull, and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength, for wisdom brings success. A serpent may bite even if it is not charmed. The babbler is no different. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. The words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and the end of his talk is waving at me. A fool also multiplies words. No man knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? The labor of fools worries them, but they do not even know how to go to the city. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and your prince sleeps in the morning. Blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles and your princes sleep at the proper time. For strength is not for drunkards, because laziness, the building decays. Because of laziness, the building decays. And through idleness of hands, the house leaks. A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes merry. But money answers everything. Do not curse the king even in your thoughts. Do not curse the rich even in your bedroom. For a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the manner. Wow. He was going through. And we all go through as well. And things come out that we don't even want to say. And we're like, wow, where did that come from? And as we go through these life lessons from Ecclesiastes chapter 8, a wise man's heart is served both time and judgment. The wisest men and women seek God's will, and often that will have much to say about timing and method, about the when and the how. God moves heaven and earth to show us his will when we seek him wholeheartedly. Again, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. One, Ecclesiastes 9 and 2, one event happens to the righteous and the wicked. Good things can happen to bad people, and bad things can happen to good people. That's the world we live in. Sometimes the wicked prosper for a while, and sometimes the righteous suffer for a while. But all accounts get balanced in eternity. This world is coming to an end, and the next one will feature a very different story. To really understand the promise of God, we have to take the long view. Things may not be going best for you as a Christian, but understand, in the long run, got you covered. He's got you covered, coming and you're going. Hallelujah. Thank you to God. But whatever you do, do it for God's glory. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. The Bible often contrasts laziness with working diligently. God doesn't appreciate half-hearted anything. He denounces half-hearted devotion to him. Revelation 3, 15 and 16. And he urges us to work at our day jobs with all our heart. Enthusiasm for him should take diligence and effort. The pursuit of godly success takes an expenditure of time and creativity. And the answers to life's questions, if you want to grab a pencil or a pen, and this is what Dr. Stanley tells us, we enjoy weekends, recreation with our family. And friends is important for a well-balanced life. But if we live for the weekends only, we saw God's desire to bless us in the task that occupies most of our adult life, work. Work is not the result of the curse placed on our planet when Adam and Eve sinned. God has instructed them to till the soil and reap its fruit before the fall. Work is a gift from God, given for our enjoyment and blessing. That is why the preacher can say, I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God, Ecclesiastes 3 and 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Wait a minute. You might be saying, if you knew who my boss is, you would understand. How can I possibly enjoy my work with such an unpleasant supervisor? Been there, done that, had an awful supervisor, and had the absolutely fantastic work. True enough, some work may not fit our ideal job description, but consider the alternative. Have you ever known anyone to feel happy and satisfied while standing in unemployment line. You better seek it. If you have a job, thank God for it. Not everyone is sick. And I did. Thank you, Lord. Wherever you find yourself working today, on the factory line, at a desk, in a truck, or on the phone, thank God for your work. It may be less than perfect, but that is where God has placed you at least for now. We must come to see every detail of our jobs as an opportunity to serve God. The Apostle Paul tells us, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that's our title for today, 1 Corinthians 10 and 31. And he reminds us, whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Whew, Jesus, thank you. Such an attitude can transform the workplace from a mere workstation to a practical pulpit that says more about your relationship with Christ than words ever could. See work as God's gift. Give him thanks for the opportunity and the privilege of working, not just for a living, but for him. Then you can start anticipating the weekday as much as the weekend. And the church said, amen. Praise the Lord this morning. And our psalm today is this. The Lord executes righteousness, and it's the 103rd Psalm, verses 6 to 14. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the east, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. But he who knows our frame, he remembers that we are just. Hallelujah. Proverbs 24, verses 10 through 12. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Deliver those who are drawn toward death, and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? Woo! Praise God. And the word of a life, the life lesson for Psalm 103:13 is, as a father pities his children, so the father pities those who fear. How does a father pity his children? He considers their weakness, immaturity, and ignorance, and so does not require them more than they can handle. Our Father does the same with us. Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, which we read this morning, and I'll read it again. The wisdom I have also seen, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God will never give us more than we can bear. And remember, whatever we do it all to the glory of God. I thank God for this word today, and again, my disclaimer for the day, that I am not paid by Dr. Stanley or his ministry, but I will tell you again, this Bible is the best Bible to get for your arsenal, your biblical arsenal, because this is what we fight with. We fight with the word of God. And it says this, I'm coming out of the Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I just say, thank you, God, for Dr. Stanley and thank God for his word. But this is an awesome word to have in your arsenal, in your biblical arsenal. Get this Bible. Get this Bible. Get this Bible. Get this Bible. And before we get out of here today, a word from our sister in Christ. And if there's anyone that has a word, now is the time to give it to us. Put that hand up. Push the number one. And a word from our sister in Christ this morning is, again, right on point for today. Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Have a terrific Tuesday, family. Again, if there's anyone that God has put a word in your heart, push the number one on your phone and your line will be open. There is no one that has anything to say today. I thank all of you for listening in. And I just want to say, don't let anybody knock you off your spiritual square. God is giving you a new day. Let today be better than yesterday. And hopefully God will give you tomorrow and let your tomorrow be better than today. But as I spoke this morning from that little book, you know, we have got to understand. We can't always look back on what happened yesterday. We got to look at forward. And thank God for today, for God gave us another day to praise him, another day to say thank you, another day to give him glory. And let everything you do, do it for God's glory. For it is not about me. It's not about you. It's always about him. And before we get out of here, just one more word. I know God is good. And I know that this today's word came from God. Our prayer for this morning is based on my scripture. I just gave it to you this morning. We all convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan to bring good into our lives, for we are called to fulfill his design purpose. And, you know, I love how this the TPT version take something that God gave us that was not big, not great, but a great word, and makes it into this big, long, drawn-out comment. That's why I say make sure when you get Bibles that you get Bibles that glorify, edify, and that they do what they need to do for God's glory. Because, again, all things work for good for those who love God. That is the scripture that I just read to you, very long and very drawn out. We are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives, where we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his design purpose. But again, all things work for good for those who love God. And this is our prayer for this morning. And we're going to go over about a minute. And it says, Holy God, and for those that have to leave at 8, I say, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and glad in it. As Sister Carolyn says, have a terrific Tuesday. And for those that can stay for a hot minute longer, this prayer is so important. It says, this, Holy God, you are so intentional in your leadership. You expertly weave the tapestry of my life into a beautiful gallery, worthy piece of art. I know I can trust that you are working every detail of my life for my benefit and for your glory. I won't worry about anything being wasted because you use it all. I love you for all the care and attention to detail you have. You use every scrap of my life and weave into it, not throwing any part out. Master designer, your eyes for how individual parts add to the bigger picture is without rival. I am so privileged to be your workmanship. Thank you for using my life for a greater purpose. I cannot rightly express the depth of gratitude I feel as the work of your hand. Your signature is all over my life. No one can deny it. What a beautiful point of view. And that touched my heart. And the word for today to think about, look at the bigger picture of your life. Do you see the thread of God's goodness? And again, before you go, just remember our word for today. Are you doing what you do for the glory of God? Do all things for the glory of God. And watch God work in your life. I thank God for each and every one of you that listen in now and listen later. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord cover you. May the Lord let his light shine upon you and give you grace, mercy, and peace, love, and joy that can only come from God. I thank God for you, and I pray that he blesses you. Ooh, that he guides you and that he leads you, and that everything you do, before you do it, you think, will this glorify God? So, Father God, I ask forgiveness for the things I do, and you know it always deals with distraction. So, Father God, I ask for you to remove distractions from my life that I may serve you a lot better and do much more for your glory, your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't let yourselves be distracted like your host was today before I came on this morning, but I know that God is working and that all things work together for good because I love the Lord. Thank you all, family. Now it is officially a wrap. Have a blessed and wonderful day because this is God's day. This is the day that he has made. I'm going to rejoice in it, and I hope you rejoice in it with me. Be blessed. It's a wrap.